The gospel for today is recorded in John, the first chapter. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We found him about whom Moses in the law and the prophets also wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" And Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree even before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you I saw you under a fig tree? You'll see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." So, as Pastor David had mentioned to you last week, as he launched this series, we are in this Epiphany season at Lord of Life. As part of each sermon, we're going to be hearing about ministries and persons who help us make a difference in people's lives, who enable us to witness to the light of Christ, who is continuing to spread his light throughout the world to all people in all nations. So epiphanies, by the way, are not just interesting little insights, like you'd say, "I had this epiphany the other day," a little epiphany insight. Epiphany experiences tend to be more than that. They transform people's lives, sometimes even radically altering the direction that they're taking in their lives, right? And today we have the privilege of welcoming Missy Herndon, who's the Executive Director of Interfaith of the Woodlands, our social service agency, to come with us. It's a ministry Lord of Life shares with all the religious organizations of the Woodlands, and founded back in 1973 by our own Don Gebert, who's a pastor emeritus here at Lord of Life. So Missy, come up and join me, would you? So Missy, thanks for being here today. Interfaith has its vision, creating a more loving and caring community through service. Tell us, a lot of people know about Interfaith, but some don't. Can you tell us a little bit about what it is?
Absolutely. So Interfaith was actually started as the Woodlands Religious Communities back in 1973, and the goal was to incubate churches or places of worship. So when Mr. Mitchell started the new community of the Woodlands, he wanted to ensure that every family that moved into our area had a place, a worship, a spiritual home, if you will. And so Interfaith was tasked of ensuring that we had a diverse group of places of worship representing all faiths. But of course, as the community continued to grow, so did the human need side of the community, and families had needs that needed to be met, and they were turned to Interfaith to meet those needs. And so here today, 45 years later, we are a social service agency, helping with everything from helping with crisis assistance and food pantry services, helping seniors with giving them the tools and resources that they need, job training. And so our goal over at Interfaith is, one, to have a place where people can serve, and then also a place for people to be served.
Thanks, Missy. Well, you know, Interfaith has so many ministries these days that it's hard to talk about all of them. We could be all day talking about them. There's things like the hand-me-up shop, right? Senior services, employment assistance, etc., etc. But I wanted to have you share some stories with us about what difference some of these ministries have made in people's lives in maybe just three areas. So how about the food bank? That's one big one.
Absolutely. So our food pantry will serve nearly 20,000 individuals. And I know it's a big number, right? But what does that impact on an individual person's life? So I'd like to share with you a story of one of our families that comes in, a client who was mid-50s. She is actually a bus driver locally. And so works very, very hard and was supporting herself fine. And then two of her children actually made some poor decisions and ended up incarcerated. So within the matter of about 6 months, she took over guardianship of five 5 total grandchildren, 2 girls and 3 boys from those 2 children of hers. And so they range in age from 18 months to 12 years old. So you can imagine all of a sudden the financial burden, right, of bringing in 5 additional family members to take care of. And so what I love most about this client is she tries so very hard to take care of her family on her own. We do help her with things like school supplies and holiday programs. But I tell you what, she comes in every single month for food. And she shares that it truly makes the difference and it keeps them in their home because they're able to spend and to put money toward that mortgage, the rent, and all the needs of those children. And we help her with supplemental food and it really makes a huge difference for her.
Oh, that's great. Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing that. And another one is the medical clinic, which is incredible. We are so grateful we can refer people to you. So tell us a little bit about the medical clinic.
Absolutely. So the Interfaith Community Clinic was actually the South County Community Clinic, and it's been around for more than 20 years. But in 2010, we took that under the umbrella of our services, and it's now called the Interfaith Community Clinic. And the goal there is to serve all of the neighbors in our area that are uninsured. So the only criteria that that you need to meet in order to come be seen at the clinic is that you live in Montgomery County and that you are completely uninsured. And we do not charge for those services. So it's medical, dental, and mental health services that we offer to our clients there, as well as education classes. You know, so many folks that come in, they just need a medical home. Our goal is to keep those people outside of the emergency rooms and to be able to teach them about their chronic conditions so that they can improve their well-being and improve their quality of life, and so we've been very blessed to do that. As a matter of fact, in between services, I met one of the members of your congregation who's been volunteering for more than 15 years there.
Joel Reed, who's on our screen.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's retired.
Oh, Dr. Reed's amazing.
Yeah, cardiologist.
Yes.
Yes, thank you.
Amazing.
And this past year, something we're all very well acquainted with, and Interfaith's leadership was so critical for this whole community, and we're so grateful for it. But tell us about Hurricane Harvey and what happened with that.
Absolutely. So during a regular disaster, Interfaith's role is to be a hub for South Montgomery County. So basically, we're there to meet basic needs for any individual in our area that needs it. When Hurricane Harvey hit, it was a little different. Because it was so widespread, the entire county was affected, and of course, the surrounding counties were all affected. It really changed the way we had to look and make sure that we were able to take care of each other from within. So we received a call from the county to be the donations manager for the entire county. And so what does that mean? Well, those of you all that know, if you came by Interfaith, and I know here y'all were collecting donations. You saw what was coming in from the community, just a tremendous amount of support. Yeah. But there were donations coming in from all over the country, just like that. Huge 18-wheelers coming in, of people really wanting to help take care of our neighbors, which is amazing. And so as you can see from the center, we got a lot of donations. So we were tasked with making sure, one, that we were able to get them all organized and get them right back out the door to the families that needed it. And so we opened this really large 200,000-square-foot center up in Conroe, and it was such a testament of people really coming together from all over the county to serve the families that were in need. We're so grateful for the work that was done here through your distribution center here, because it was tremendously helpful with your proximity to Interfaith that people were able to come here. And then I was also reminded during the break of your tremendous work with Fill the Gap, which is the deposit assistance, which is absolutely huge. When you think about families that are trying to support a home that's now been, in construction from Harvey, and now they also have an apartment or another home that they've got their family in, so they're supporting two different households. Yep. That deposit assistance became crucial. It truly kept people in homes with roofs over their head. So thank you for your tremendous support of that.
Oh, you're welcome. Yeah, that was very powerful. Well, Missy, one of the big things you focus on as an executive director, and I really appreciate this, is connecting with the congregations again and making sure that they're engaged in this ministry. And so what would you ask of Lord of Life that would be most helpful for Interfaith's ministry at this point in history?
Absolutely. Thank you, Pastor Gary. I want to say thank you to your congregation, because you all have been around since nearly the inception and working with us on so many different programs and have done so many different things that have made such a huge impact on this community. Of course, working with Don Gebert, and he's still so involved in what we do and the direction of the things. Pastor Gary serves on our board, which we're so excited about. He starts starts that this month. And but truly think about the donation of time, talents, and treasure. And so when I say treasure, I don't just mean funding, but when you make donations over at Interfaith of you gently use clothing or the food drives that you all do here, or don't ever hesitate just to even drop a bag of food, it truly makes a difference. We are able to serve so many because of the generosity of time and of those donations over there. So thank you very much for your generosity and for having me here today.
And thanks, Missy, for being a witness to the light for us.
Thank you. Thank you.
Let's thank her.
Thank you.
By the way, I don't know, some of you may not know where the main office is, and it's not far from here. It's on Interfaith Way. So if you go just up Panther Creek across Woodlands Parkway, about two streets over, it's take a left and you keep driving until you find it, right? And that's where people can bring stuff. Yeah, so it's really easy to find, and I'm grateful for you being here. Well, at any rate, our scripture readings this morning speak a great deal about life-changing encounters, kind of things that are happening all the time at Interfaith. But right in the Bible, we hear about life-changing encounters with God. In our Old Testament reading, we heard one of the stories that's one of my favorites because it was involved in my feeling called in the church. It's the calling of Samuel, the great leader of Israel, who heard the voices of God as a little child in an era of great cynicism and skepticism. The story read, if you recall, as Susan was reading it, "In those days the word of the Lord was rarely heard, and visions, there were no frequent visions," right? And it's not unlike the time for Nathanael, and Nathanael's calling to follow Jesus. He's the prince of skeptics himself, as you tell from this story. And I think most of us have that in common with Nathanael, quite honestly. Because when we hear life-transforming stories about others, like the ones from Interfaith or other places, it could be that's fine, but we could still be skeptical about what difference that makes, or what difference that makes for us. But Nathanael had his epiphany. His transforming experience where something just snapped into focus for him. And he picked up and he followed Jesus on the spot. Now, skepticism isn't a bad thing, right? In fact, it's essential to the journey of faith to question things. Martin Luther encouraged us as you go through reading your scriptures and through life to ask about various things that are going on. What does this mean? What does this mean? What does this mean? Where is God in this situation? Those kind of questions are important questions for us to be asking. But the problem with skepticism is when it becomes hardened into cynicism and closed-mindedness. If it's something like, for instance, if it's something that doesn't fit my opinion, I'm just going to write it off, right? The current crisis we're having with fact over opinion in our national deliberations about issues is a point in fact, where we can get into the circular thinking, you know, how does this fit what I already believe? Rather than, how can this situation or crisis I'm experiencing open up new messages from God? Well, that's where Nathanael was at with his buddy when his buddy texted him, "Hey, we found the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth." And Nathanael, with his skepticism, his closed mind, prejudiced opinion about people who came from Nazareth, because it was just a little cruddy armpit of the universe, little village after all, right? And so he says, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And kind of like for me, you know, with my own little prejudice, I'll say, "Can anything good come out of the Minnesota Vikings?" You know, Packer fans, prejudice. Anyway, but I owe somebody a beer at Goose's Acre if they ever do win the Super Bowl. I'll tell you that here. But, you know, that's maybe a minor prejudice, but some of our prejudices are more damaging to human life. Like, can anything good come out of Haiti? Or can anything good come out of Somalia? Or inner city Houston? Or Russia? Can anything good come out of homeless people? Since most of them seem to stay stuck, no matter how hard we try to help them, what difference does it make? But Philip persisted with Nathanael in Nathanael's skepticism. He says, "Well, come and see for yourself. Well, bless his heart, at least Nathanael was willing to turn off the TV and get off the couch and go with Philip to check out this Jesus. Little did he know the power of Jesus Christ until the moment he encountered him in person. And somehow, in the face of that encounter, he had this blazing moment of recognition, not only of who Jesus was, but of who he was himself, Nathanael. And a sudden turn in his life that he was about to make. Because you see, Nathanael, what he experiences, what we can experience there, right there, the ability of Jesus to see right into your heart and right into your mind. Jesus can do that, does do that. Right through our secrets and everything, through all of our prejudices and opinions, he can break right through those. See us as we are, love us as we are. And then call us to a life of significance and meaning beyond our imagining. To blast through our skepticism, so to speak, our hard and closed-minded opinions and prejudices and doubts, so that we become to realize that anything or anybody can make a difference. So when you are willing to time and again, come and see for yourself. You never know what awaits you, do you? And you might say, well, maybe that's what scares me so much. What if I end up with this life-changing encounter with Jesus and my life takes a turn I never expected? I wonder if Missy ever imagined that she would be the executive director of Interfaith. Maybe I don't want that kind of challenge. Thank you, we say to ourselves and to God. And many days, that's just the way it is. Thanks, I'm good where I am, you know. But Jesus is waiting for you to come. Time after time, day after day, week after week, to be willing, to be open, to be transformed by that touch of unconditional grace that he brings you. And then to look at the world around you with that same loving, unconditional grace and let it transform your attitudes and prejudices and opinions so that they're more in alignment with God's attitude and God's prejudice toward the whole human race. And what is God's prejudice? It's in John 3:16. For God so loved the whole world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him might not perish, but have life open-minded and abundant now and forever. Huh? That's God's prejudice toward us. And that your life be one of deep significance and meaning as you follow him right in the midst of your day-to-day life, as you listen for his calling you. Now, when you decide to follow him on a regular basis in the midst of your life, that isn't always an easy road, is it? Don Gebert, if you talk to him about Interfaith, would tell you stories about how when he started it, he and Barbara both, they started with no money at all, and he'd go, where on earth are we going to get anything to get anything done here? How can we do anything with no money? And you know what? Today, 45 years later, it's a multi-million dollar service agency. Think of that. Who would have ever imagined that? Only people who listen for God and go where God tells them to go. That's who. Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., our civil rights leader, we're remembering tomorrow with this national holiday, had moments of a lot of frustration and discouragement and doubt where he was ready to give up. And he recounts one of those turning points in a book I read in junior high back in 1962. And he wrote it in 58. And he recounts one of those turning points for him in this book called Stride Toward Freedom. And he said something like this. It was midnight. I sat there with my undrunk cup of coffee, wondering how I could get out of this thing that I'd gotten myself into without looking like a coward. I didn't know what else to do. So I decided to talk to God about it. So he prayed to God and said, Lord, I don't know what you had in mind here, but I can't do this. I don't know how to do this. I don't know where I'm going. I have no clue. God, what am I supposed to do? And the inner voice you heard back from God at the kitchen table that night at midnight was, as long as you're serving me with mercy and justice and peace, I'll be right with you. And you know what? He said from that moment, there's the peace that came over him, and he was never again as scared as he had been before. The boy Samuel had a life-transforming epiphany one night that altered the direction of his life. Nathaniel had a life-changing epiphany that day that altered the course of his life. Martin Luther King Jr. had his. Many of you have had epiphanies that have led you to something you never expected, right? Can anything good come out of a spiritual encounter with Jesus? Are you willing to come and see for yourself Jesus in your Bible, in your prayer life, in your conversation with others, in your worship life, and in your studying of what's happening out there in the community and in our world? Are you willing to risk being transformed? Are you willing to lay aside your skepticism about what difference it would make anyway? Are you willing to risk your life and time priorities, having them be altered from what they are now because you hear something different from God? And will it be worth it, any change you might be called to make? Well, come and see.